The Meaning of Marxism by Paul Diamato. Section. The Eagle and Its Talons. There is a peculiar myth told in this country that the United States is neither an empire nor imperialist. We are, so the tale goes, a freedom-loving nation that goes to war only for noble causes. America the Benevolent, wrote historian Sidney Lenz, quote, does not exist and has never existed. The United States has pilfered large territories from helpless or near helpless peoples. It has forced its will on scores of nations, against their wishes and against their interests. It has violated hundreds of treaties and understandings. It has committed war crimes as shocking as most. It has wielded a military stick and a dollar carrot to forge an imperialist empire such as man has never known before. It has intervened ruthlessly in the internal life of dozens of nations to prevent them from choosing the leaders they did want or from overthrowing, by revolution, the ones they didn't. End quote. The United States emerged as a world power in the late 1800s. And quickly became the biggest economic power in the world. But it emerged as a power after the scramble for colonies was mostly completed. As a result of this, the United States found it congenial to develop a more informal empire, where it was unable to establish its own exclusive sphere, for example, in China. Washington advanced the open door policy in order to push its way in. But in its own backyard, i.e. the Caribbean and the Pacific, the United States established a closed-door policy, using military power to establish absolute hegemony. When the United States went to war with Spain in 1898, it claimed that it was motivated by a desire to free Spanish colonies, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines, from Spanish tyranny. As payment for this benevolent service, the United States made colonies or protectorates out of all of them. Politicians in Washington were not above justifying conquest on racist grounds, either. President William McKinley explained to a group of Methodist church leaders in 1899 that granting the Filipinos self-government would undoubtedly create anarchy and misrule. Therefore, the only choice for the United States was to, quote, take them all and to educate the Filipinos, and uplift and civilize and Christianize them. But first, the United States had to send 70,000 troops to the Philippines to crush the independence movement there, which had first developed in opposition to Spanish rule, but had since turned against the Americans. One historian describes how, by 1901, the war had degenerated into a mass slaughter. After Filipino nationalist guerrillas attacked a town in Samar under U.S. occupation and killed 54 U.S. soldiers, the American military instigated a reign of terror on the island. Quote, General Howland Jake Smith, fresh from his victories in northern Luzon and Panay, was chosen to lead the American mission of revenge. Smith's order to his men embarking upon the Samar campaign could not have been more explicit. Kill and burn, kill and burn. The more you kill and the more you burn, the more you please me. When asked to define the age limit for killing, Smith gave his infamous reply, "Everything over 10." Smith ordered Samar to be turned into a howling wilderness so that even the birds could not live there. The now familiar pattern of operations began once again. All inhabitants of the island, population 266,000, were ordered to present themselves to detention camps in several of the larger coastal towns. Those who did not make it their business to learn the existence of the order, and were found outside the detention camp perimeter would be shot and no questions asked. Few reporters during the carnage covered the carnage. One who did noted, "During my stay in Samar, the only prisoners that were made were taken by Waller's command, and I heard this act criticized by the highest officers as a mistake. The truth is, the struggle in Samar is one of extermination." End of quote. In the end, the U.S. Army's murderous, scorched earth policy wiped out upwards of 1 million Filipinos. The barbarism of the United States and the Philippines prompted the great satirist Mark Twain to become a staunch opponent of imperialism. "I left these shores a red-hot imperialist. I wanted the American Eagle to go screaming into the Pacific," Twain told a New York Herald reporter in 1900. However, he explained, quote, "I have seen that we do not intend to free, but to subjugate the people of the Philippines. We have gone there to conquer, not to redeem." He concluded, "I am an anti-imperialist. I am opposed to having the eagle put its talons on any other land." End quote. Even where the United States shunned formal colonies, its practices were almost identical. In the Caribbean, the United States made a practice of demanding that countries hand over control of their customs houses to U.S. officials and banks in order to ensure repayment of loans. When a country refused, the U.S. invaded. U.S. Marines occupied Haiti and stayed there from 1915 to 1934, for example. They imposed a new constitution that opened Haiti to foreign land ownership and handed the country's custom houses and banking system over to the National City Bank of New York and crushed all resistance. Woodrow Wilson in 1907 clarified how, for the United States, the open door policy was a strategy to maximize U.S. dominance. Quote, "Since trade ignores national boundaries, and the manufacturer insists on having the world as a market, the flag of his nation must follow him, and the doors of the nations which are closed against him must be battered down. Concessions obtained by financiers must be safeguarded by ministers of state, even if the sovereignty of unwilling nations be outraged in the process." End quote, and end of section.